womanhood and motherhood in our society. That's the message today. We're really in danger here in America to really lose our identity. And there's an all-out attack, really, on women. But let's read the scriptures, have a word of prayer, and then I'll kind of explain a little bit about where we're going with this morning. So we're going to look at God's creation there, down in verse 26. I like how the Lord lays everything out here. We'll read a few verses more than what I have here, but it says here, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Note, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now jump down to verse 31. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you this morning for all the women present in our service today. Father, what a wonderful creation. What a wonderful creator. Father, male and female, and man and women, and husbands and wives, and brothers and sisters, and Father, all the relationships that we have on this earth because of you. And Father, I think one of the greatest is the marriage relationship, because it does picture Christ in the church. So Father, today, just open our eyes to the truth. Father, as we saw in Sunday school about abortion and the attack on motherhood there and destruction of our society through abortion, we know that today, Father, there's another attack. And this too will destroy the family, will destroy motherhood, will destroy women. And we see it's already happening in our country. So, Father, we thank you that there's an awareness being brought about, and even at the level of parent and at the school board meetings and different states. And different educators, Lord, are aware of the dangers that are trying to be fed to our children. So, Father, open our eyes. Those of us that are here today, we're saved. We know you. We're supposed to walk in the truth, walk in the light, and stand for truth and righteousness in this nation. So, Father, build us up today. Build up our mothers today in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, here in America, there is an all-out attack on the foundation of our society because there's an attack on women. I was reading this article this week, and nothing is new to you, but it's kind of subtle attacks, as you know, as it comes in, whether it's through education or our children, you know, beginning at preschool, first kindergarten, and on up. What they're trying to feed them. What confusion. But also, there's in our government, it has to go back to the Education Amendments of 1972, and it's called Title IX. And our current administration is trying to change the definitions of Title IX. What does that mean? You see, Title IX is a civil rights law in the United States of America that was passed as part of the Education Amendment of 1972. It prohibits sex-based discrimination in any school or in any other education program that receives funding from the federal government. We know that under the previous administration, we had Betsy DeVos as the education secretary, and she had written about this. Title IX sex-based protections were sticking by the definitions of biological sex, male or female. So in the previous administration, they were very careful to stand by what we read in God's word, male and female. However, in March of 2021, President Biden signed an executive order outlining plans to review Title IX regulations related to gender identity. The administration's reforms include rolling back some due process protections put in place by the Trump administration and changing the definition of sex to include gender identity. Moms for Liberty co-founder Tiffany Justice said this: "We see that this idea of identifying students in general by identity rather than by biological is concerning to us. We're seeing sexual harassment claims or harassment claims as language is violence being used by students who accidentally misgender a child in the classroom. Sometimes genders are fluid. Instances where a child was being told to kill themselves and being bullied by a group of students who were literally changing their gender every day. And then the school was looking at harassment violations or harassment claims against that child, which was not the case. And these are 11-year-old children." And she continues or concludes, and I'll just kind of get down here. "We don't see any reasons why it needs to be changed," she continued. "We think it really is the erasure of women in general. And as mothers, we are women, adult females, human females, who are not birthing people. We want to protect women's rights," she concluded. "We believe the Biden administration is blurring and, in effect, erasing women in a lot of different ways." Do you see? There's an all-out attack. Where do you stand today? I stand on the Word of God. Let's go to the Word of God. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. First of all, when I think of, we see in the Word of God that God created the first woman. And we see very clearly in God's Word, and this is what he says, God says about gender identity, by the way. This is God's word. So the first woman we see here, and now one thing about the book of Genesis, I hope you understand it, it's not in chronological order, meaning it actually states some things, then it later expands on that same event. So it gives more fuller detail. So you can't say these are all chronological. No, it actually expands. So what we're seeing is God created them male and female. And then later in chapter 2, he gives us details. How did that happen? So we're going to be looking at some of the details today. But we have to say that the first woman was a product of divine creation. Amen. She was not born as other women are born. Can you imagine that? She was never a baby, never a child. never a daughter, never a maiden. The first female ever born was Eve's daughter. But she was created in the image of God. And this is the summit of creation. Think about this. No animal can knowingly glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Only man has an awareness of God's presence. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, the New Testament tells us. Only mankind has a spirit life. Only man and women have God consciousness. Because alone we are created in the image of God. No animal is created in God's likeness or in God's image. The idea of image is a shadow or an outline resemblance, a profile, a definite resemblance. Think about man who has intelligence, emotion, will, and a spiritual nature. This is all by God's design. And only men and women can fellowship with God because we are created in the image of God. The only exact representation of that image is Jesus Christ. He is the express image of God the Father in Hebrews 1:3. Everything that is in God is in Jesus. That's all that means. Amen. But when you think of Eve, we'll go to chapter 2 now. As I mentioned, these details are outlined in chapter 2. She was fashioned out for Adam. What does it say here in verse 2:18? And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. Amen. Can all the men say amen?
Amen.
I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. I wonder if that's all the Latin names. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. That's the first poem, Brother West. That's the first poem right there, what Adam said. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Amen. She was fashioned out for Adam. And this is a wonderful, special creation of God. That's what you are today, mothers. You're a special creation of God. Not a single animal, as you see here, was like Adam. He had to name them all. And so he was alone. There was no one like him. And so God saw that, amen? In God's plan, as you could see in chapter 1, God had a plan. But Eve was prepared for Adam. Adam's companion was specially created by God in God's image so she could have communion with God in God's image, but also communion with Adam. Men and women are different, but they are more alike than anything else in creation. But I want you to see also that God created here sexuality. Amen? Go back to chapter 1. This is a good thing. This is God's creation, brethren. We need to understand ourselves. Amen? And I think everything that they're fighting for here in our government, here in Texas and Florida and around the country, many different governors and legislatures are fighting against all this, what's being taught in the classrooms at an early age. Children have to learn their identity from us as parents. Amen? I mean, they know it, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is they are learning about themselves as a male or female. That's what I'm talking about. They're not they're born male or female. But what I'm getting at is to understand, okay, here's my life. Here's how God created me. Here's what God has for me. This is how I relate to my family. This is how I relate to others in society. This is how I relate to God. All that is our job as parents to be teaching them. That's what I'm getting at. How can I put that in the hands of some professor, some teacher that's all confused about themselves and their relationship with God? It's dangerous out there. Trust me. And so we see this is a creative act of God. He intended it to be something beautiful and wholesome. Don't you see how distorted and how perverse and how broken down our society is today? Maleness and femaleness is a design of God. Men are to be men. Women are to be women. It is not the other way around. Men are not created to be women. Women are not to be men. And it's tragic when men try to be women and women try to be men. Amen. You know why? You cannot fulfill. Verse 28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. How are you going to multiply? How are you going to, the human race is going to die with this sinfulness and destruction and perversion of society. And they are, how could you become one flesh? You cannot become one flesh unless you are male and female. That's God's design to be one. I think of at the end of chapter 1 when God said, it is very good. It's because when he saw Eve, and when Adam saw Eve, and when God created, this was the summit of creation, and she was divine perfection, amen. She was the loveliest woman ever made. Her face, her features, her form, she was beautiful. She was even more beautiful than any woman today that has just recently won the Miss Universe pageant. Adam saw her beauty, and he wrote the very first love poem that we read in chapter 2, verse 23. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. She was beautiful in body. She was beautiful in mind. She was beautiful in spirit. She was a delight to be around. This is God's plan, amen? This is God's plan for women. You should be a delight to be around, amen? God created the first woman, but not only that, God created the first wife. Amen? We see this creation. We read it already, but let's go into some details here. She was created from Adam. By the way, this is not some fairy tale, okay? Or some fable. This is God's way. This God was the first surgeon, amen? And he put Adam to sleep. And he took a rib from him. God did not create woman like he did man and the animal kingdom, independent of each other. Just like a surgeon, God carefully put Adam to sleep, and Adam slept. The Hebrew word slept is a very deep, deep sleep. And God tenderly and meticulously operated upon Adam and removed a rib from his body. So she was created from a rib of Adam. God created woman out of the very body and being of Adam. Simply stated, God performed surgery upon man, took one of his ribs, and made woman out of that rib. This is not a fable about the origin of the female species of humanity. It's not a myth. It's how the women appeared upon earth and began her journey down through the centuries. This is the biblical account. And this gives a simple explanation of just what happened, and it is an accurate account. But I want you to think of some things here. Why would God not just form woman out of the dust of the ground like he did man? Because woman came out of man's need. He was alone. She came out of man's being. And she was to be the object of man's cleaving. Look what it says now in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There's a clinging there in that relationship. There's a reaching out for one another's own being, one another's own flesh. She was created out of Adam, out of his being. And she was to be one flesh with Adam. What does it say here? They shall be one flesh. So that flesh and that oneness is because she was made out of the very flesh of man. So that man and women would have identical natures. And they stand as the counterpart one to another. And so this is God's plan. Identical natures. She came out of man's flesh. Because we know that man nourishes and cherishes his own flesh just as he's to nourish and cherish his wife. That's what the New Testament says. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. She's taken out of the very chest of man, which protects his heart. Woman is that which gives so much meaning to man, that which brings warmth, tenderness, and encouragement to man. If you think about this, a woman is either protective or destructive, a destructive force to a man. God designed her to be a helpmeet. To be a helpmeet. Let's just understand this very clearly. Eve and every woman here, you're designed to complement your husband, not to be stiff competition with your husband. You understand God's divine plan? And husbands, she is to be your helper, not your slave. Not your slave. You see, I'm talking about destruction of society, brethren. We all suffer in this room. Why? probably because of our parents and the way they treated each other. And our grandparents, the way they treated each other. Or your relatives that you see, grew up with, the way they treated each other. And we just go around repeating the same destructive sin in our marriages, in our childhood. You parent the way you were parented. And if you were parented the wrong way, then you got to relearn it from God and from Jesus and from His holy word. Because you're going to destroy your children. We're going to destroy society. And this is one of the most destructive things, ladies, that has come out of the modern feminist movement, is intense competition created between husbands and wives and the blurring of parental roles and responsibilities. You understand me? The blurring of roles and responsibilities, intense competition between women and men, is destructive to our society, destructive to your family, destructive to your home, and destructive to your children. Isn't it sad? A lot of men don't know how to respond to this. I'll tell you why. It goes against nature. Instead of being a helper, the wife has become the greatest competition, his greatest competition. Instead of being supportive in the home, it's become a competitive role. Instead of being a companion and a helpmeet and being one flesh like God meant it to be, to have perfect unity. Listen, there's no competition here. Let's step back a little bit and talk a little bit about God establishes here the law of marriage. The law of marriage. Marriage here is established as the first institution upon earth, the first institution established for society. And I want you to see three laws or rules of the marriage bond. Think about these with me real quick. We already talked about it. You are to leave your parents. There's to be a permanent separation from parents by the man and woman so that you can have a perfect union with your wife. And that is to be the primary relationship, the strongest relationship. Is you don't continue being your parents' daughter or your parents' son. Now you are husband and wife, and that is primary above all these other relationships. It is strong, isn't it? It's so strong that you leave home and you cleave to your wife. That's the second rule. This is to be imminent, intimate, and permanent. Intimate and permanent. It's to be one flesh. The marriage bond is to endure as long as the flesh lives. That's what God says. One flesh is the third rule. Man and woman, husband and wife, are to become one flesh. He is to be hers. She is to be his. So much so that they are one. Amen. One person. There's to be physical intimacy, spiritual union, so binding that they become one flesh. One person in body, mind, and spirit. Now go to Matthew chapter 19, and I got to hurry up. I like to connect these two because Jesus is speaking here. And he addresses a couple issues here. Matthew 19:4. I think one of the main issues that we need to look at is that he, Jesus, accepts the historical credibility of Genesis in this passage. Amen? Verse 4, and he answered and said, remember, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? They're trying to stump him up, amen, tempting him. He answered and said, have you not read? Amen. Go to the word of God, folks. It's the truth. That he which made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female. This is Jesus Christ. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. What does it say in Genesis 3 and 24? Amen. He's quoting it. Amen. And he says in verse 6, wherefore, they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Of course, they're going to attack him some more, right? Tempt him some more. What does he say? They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. You know what he's saying? Because of your rebellion against God, there is a thing called divorce. That's what he said. Your hardness of your heart, because you rebelled against God's laws, you've broken his laws, you've divorced, you've done what God did not want you to do. Now, before everyone gets all upset with the preacher, hear me out, amen? Because at the end of this message, and hopefully very quickly, we'll learn one thing. Aren't you thankful God forgives you? Even for that sin, just so you know. See, it's this selfishness, this hardness of heart is what destroys marriages. We're just selfish by nature. If you worship at the shrine of self, you'll destroy your marriage. But if you sacrifice that, if you deny yourself, amen, you'll have a strong and healthy family and marriage. We need to refocus our lives and our marriages on the priorities that will build strong, healthy marriages. And we find that in the Word of God. Now, last of all, but not least of all, God created the first mother. Go back to our text. We'll actually jump over to chapter 3 of Genesis now in verse 20. Genesis 3:20. And I hope I can get down to the end of this. But the Bible tells us here, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Her name means living in life. Amen? She is life-giving. Mothers, you are life-giving in so many ways. Adam lived 930 years, and Eve probably lived as long as Adam. How many sons and daughters did they have? That's a lot of sons and daughters, amen? So the age-old question, you know, where did Cain get his wife? Well, where do you think? It's one of his sisters. Because back then, that's all there was on the earth. It's not some stumped question, like some real theological deep question, amen? They had sons and daughters. That's what the Bible says. But God gave them that responsibility in chapter 1. Remember, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God said, I want you to populate the earth. That was what God told Adam and Eve to do. And they were faithful to that. Amen. How would you have liked to be the first mother? Have you ever thought about what her life would have been like? How did she parent? She started from scratch. You know, she had God's relationship. But I want you to see something here. Yes, she was the mother of all living. But you know what? She became the first sinner. We're not going to go into that temptation and fall. But Eve, yes, she's the first woman. She's the first wife. She's the first mother. But she was also the first sinner. And this sin destroys your fellowship with God. Remember, they hid from God. This sin destroys your marriage. You start blaming one another and fighting with one another. This sin destroys your relationship with your children. But aren't you thankful? Go to Genesis 3:15. That in all this, even though she sinned, and Adam sinned, don't get me wrong, Adam openly rebelled, amen? She was deceived. But the Bible says in verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And this is speaking of the Savior to come. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And he promised the Savior, amen? And that Savior is for you today, if you're here today. You need salvation to be the best mother you can be. But know something about Eve. She became the first wounded mother too. And I don't think there's a mother in this room that you have not been heartbroken for your children. Eve could relate to that. We know what happened. And Cain talked with Abel in chapter 4, verse 8, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Travail, a trail of sorrow and anguish, always follows sin. Her firstborn became so angry, he killed his brother. So Eve, the first woman, the first wife, the first mother, had the dishonor of being the mother of a murderer. Did you ever think about that? How she felt? You can imagine the chaos that was created by the first sin and its evil effect on the first couple. But then, how it destroyed home life as well. They were broken up because of sin. She has another son. And after that, her name disappears from history. But not without a word of hope. And I want to give you hope this morning, moms. First of all, you can learn from Eve's mistakes. Amen. Isn't the Bible written for our learning, for our admonition? We can go back and say, you know what? I don't have to go down that same path. I don't have to believe Satan's lies. Listen, you know the techniques of Satan. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's repeated over against Jesus in Matthew 4. It's repeated down in 1 John 2:15 to 17. The same techniques. You don't have to be overcome by Satan and destroyed by Satan. Learn from her mistakes, amen. Put on the whole armor of God. The only hope for our country is Christians who put on the whole armor of God. The only hope for your children is mothers who put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Do that. You can overcome temptation. Amen. And I want you to know, moms, no one else can do it for you. You need to make a commitment of your life today to be a godly mother. begin each day with the determination that Jesus is going to live his life through you in your home. Your marriage and your commitment to it should be the most important thing in your life. It's more important, listen to me, than your job. That was weak. Your marriage should be more important than your job, your position, or your responsibilities in the community. It should be the most important commitment of your life. Amen. Will you commit yourself today not to buy into Satan's lies about you, yourself, about your husband, and about your family? He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a thief. If you are a hurting mother today, take time to heal. Eve could identify with the pain and hurt that some of you may be even having today in your hearts. I don't know everything that's going on in your life. She felt guilt when she looked at the consequences of her own actions and behavior. She could say, no one knows the grief I have suffered because of the loss of my two sons. You see, she lost both Cain and Abel because Cain was banished. She knew the embarrassment and damage beyond repair of having a son become the first murderer in history. You see, if you are hurting because of the pain of divorce, grief, emotional injury, other loss, you need to seek out support in this church, encouragement in our church. You need to learn through other women's encouragement here in our church. You need to get involved in the women's Bible study. I know we're connected, but you need to be connected here. Let me tell you, the greatest thing you have is someone as a pastor who loves the Word of God. He's going to preach you, and his wife who loves you and loves your kids and is going to teach you the truth of God's Word. Amen. As mothers and wives and young ladies. This is where you will heal. But I'll tell you what, it won't be easy. Because healing brings change in your life and commitments to Him, amen, to Christ. And I know you'll find other Christ-centered women in this church who love the Lord and serve Him. You'll find true friends who will confront you when needed and help you grow. No, it's not easy. Amen. You can grow from your hurt. Remember, God's the God of all comfort, so He's going to comfort you so that you can comfort others. Amen. He's going to help you, and He's going to show you love and healing so that you can reach out and show love and healing to someone else. And that's how our God does it. Amen. I think last of all, but not least of all, if your mother is still alive, take time to tell her you love her today. I was talking to Lonnie. I don't say this much. My mother was killed when I was 2 years old in a car accident. I never knew her. You see, you can't afford to wait. Send her roses today, because what good is it going to do to put roses on the grave after she's gone? She won't appreciate them then. I know we're busy. but show love and appreciation to your mothers. And if they're here, right here next to you, go and hug their neck and tell them how much you love them. Let's pray. Father, today, Lord, we want to honor you with this, your word today, and our families, our mothers. We want to thank you, Lord, for the blessing of women.